Welcome to the show. We begin this news hour with the investigation into the bullet that killed our journalist Shireen Abu Akleh. The US State Department says a third-party examination of the fragment has been inconclusive, but it says gunfire from Israeli army positions was likely responsible for her death in May. US State Department spokesman Ned Price has released a statement saying ballistic experts determined the bullet was badly damaged, which prevented a clear conclusion. He went on to say the US security coordinator concluded that gunfire from Israeli forces positioned was likely responsible for the death of Shireen Abu Akleh. The US security coordinator found no reason to believe that this was intentional, but rather the result of tragic circumstances. Well, we'll get the reaction from Stephanie Decker in West Jerusalem soon, but let's go first to Mike Hanna in Washington, D.C. And, Mike, we've heard more details there about what the State Department had to say about this. Do you get the sense that, given how much attention and pressure was placed upon this case, that this is an attempt by the U.S. to draw a line under all of this?
Well, that would appear to be the intention. It is an exceedingly inconclusive report. And significant within that as well is that comment there that it's not possible to establish that the shooting was intentional. Now, to reach that conclusion requires going into the mind of whoever did the shooting. So just that statement would appear to underway the opinions of those who believe that the U.S. wants to finish this affair, move on, and it does so by issuing what is clearly an inconclusive report. Now, there has been some reaction already from some human rights organizations. One of the least critical is saying that this is a travesty of justice. We've also heard comments such as you are now in a situation where the perpetrator is examining themselves. So there is a lot of criticism, and this is going to increase on a report that is clearly very inconclusive, stating, though, that it does appear that the shooting occurred from the Israeli army positions, but saying as well that the bullet was so damaged that it could not be properly matched to a specific weapon. Now, the Palestinians have been insistent that they will not accept any finding unless that bullet is matched to a gun. Now, that is a critical issue as well, which the so-called independent investigators appear not to have addressed. Their findings, that the shooting itself is inconclusive, but they add there should be no blame attached. So any question about accountability is thrown out of the window in this specific report.
And Mike, of course, this is a very delicate time diplomatically, given that the president is expected to visit the region quite soon. Saying that, though, do you imagine, and you've already mentioned NGOs there and human rights groups, do you imagine that the pressure will continue to pile up on the authorities there to find a more decisive response to this inquiry?
Well, yes, that is exceedingly likely. There has been a lot of pressure from Congress. Surprisingly, some might argue, which has been heavily supportive of Israel, but many within Congress have demanded that the administration do its part in getting to the bottom of this affair. Several members of Congress have made very clearly that this type of shooting has occurred regularly with the Israeli army responsible in the past, and they are insistent that the administration should play its role in getting to the bottom of exactly the circumstances that led to the death of the Al Jazeera journalist. So this pressure is going to continue to ramp up, not only from human rights organizations, but also from Congress itself. There are likely to be questions asked and demands made that the administration push this further, that an inconclusive report is not acceptable.
Mike Hanna in Washington, D.C., thank you. Well, let's stay with the story and bring in Stephanie Decker in West Jerusalem. Stephanie, of course, for those people hoping for a conclusive result to this investigation, this may be a frustrating and disappointing time. What are people saying where you are?
Well, the Palestinians didn't expect anything conclusive, or certainly not accountability or justice, when they heard that the bullet had been handed over to the Israelis to investigate, even if the Americans were present. It's something the Palestinians had always said they didn't want, because they didn't believe that it would be an unbiased and transparent investigation. We've just had a statement from Shireen Abu Akleh's family, a long statement where it pretty much backs that up, saying that they're incredulous that it's been found inconclusive, that they expected more from the Americans, particularly also that she's an American citizen. It also mentions accusing the US of giving billions of dollars of military aid to Israel as it perpetuates its occupation and killing of Palestinians, and that it's going to continue to call for an independent investigation and justice for Shireen Abu Akleh. We've had responses now coming in from multiple Palestinian officials saying pretty much the same thing, that Israel should be held to account. Of course, there's no doubt on behalf of the Palestinian leadership or any Palestinian you speak to on the street. And indeed, I think we need to remind our viewers, you know, all of Shireen's colleagues on the ground on May 11th who witnessed what happened say there's no doubt that the Israeli army shot her and killed her, and also multiple international media investigations that broke it down forensically, analyzed by military experts when it came to location of fire, when it came to the location on the ground, when it came to the ballistic sounds, all of them concluding that Israel was responsible for her death. We've had reaction from the Israeli defense minister, Benny Gantz. He's saying that Israel always strives to find the truth and that, unfortunately, in his words, this time it wasn't possible, but laying the blame at Palestinian gunmen who were firing in the area at the time. Of course, this video has been analyzed extensively. At the time, it didn't sound like there was an exchange of fire, only fire coming from one specific direction. So when it comes to the Palestinians, this is not a surprise. This is as expected. And I think, as you were talking about there with Mike Hanna, also interestingly, this, the Americans pretty much, I think, trying to pour cold water on this ahead of President Joe Biden's visit at the end of next week. The Americans have been pressurizing the Palestinians to hand over the bullets, something the Palestinians didn't want to do because they wanted to put this to bed ahead of that visit.
Very, very briefly, Steph, I wonder what this, in your eyes, means in terms of trust between Palestinians and the United States. Of course, the bullet was handed over on trust that there would be a thorough inquiry and one that would give us a fuller understanding of what had happened. What does this do in terms of that relationship?
Well, it is already a relationship that's, let's say, very broken, particularly since the Trump administration. And the Palestinians at this point feel that this administration, even though in words it's been more supportive and it's taken certain steps, but it really hasn't taken the bigger steps to mend what the Trump administration ruined. So there is very little trust as well. You're now pointing out a very important point. The Palestinians had, you know, consecutively said, we do not want Israel part of this investigation. In the end, this was the Israelis investigating the bullet forensically with the presence of the Americans, some things that they didn't want. One Palestinian official already recently saying it was a mistake to hand over the bullet. What did we expect? So what the Americans have managed to do now is pretty much almost take the responsibility off the Israelis for any accountability, because if the Israelis had said, well, it looks like, yes, one of our soldiers shot Shireen Abu Akleh, it was a mistake, there would be calls for a trial, for justice, for accountability. What the Americans seem to have done is to taken that pressure off Israel and said, well, it looks like they did it, but they didn't do it on purpose. So, you know, it's a tragic mistake and let's just all move on. Well, obviously, Shireen's family, her colleagues, her friends and the Palestinian leadership are going to make sure that doesn't happen. But I think, you know, it's very difficult. If you don't have the weapon to trace it to the bullet, it's going to be very difficult to be able to categorically say who exactly fired that shot. But again, when it comes to the Palestinians, her family and everyone present at the time, they are under no doubt as to who killed her.
Steph Decker in West Jerusalem, thank you. Now, let's take a look at what's happened since Shireen was killed by Israeli forces. At the time of the attack, she was in a camp for Palestinian refugees who were expelled from their land in 1948. Hours after her death, the Israeli government began circulating video on social media suggesting she was likely shot by a Palestinian fighter. It later changed that account, saying it's possible its soldiers may have killed her. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas rejected a proposal for a joint investigation with Israel. Instead, he pledged to take the case to the International Criminal Court. There have been protests from Ramallah to East Jerusalem, and Israeli forces attacked her funeral with mourners, saying even in death, Shireen managed to show the world the face of Israel's occupation. Since her killing, media outlets, including the Associated Press, CNN, The New York Times and Washington Post, have announced their own investigations, which found Abu Akleh was likely killed by Israeli fire. The Palestinian Authority investigation found Abu Akleh was deliberately killed by Israeli forces. On the same day, Al Jazeera said it would file a case with the International Criminal Court. In June, the Palestinian foreign minister took the results of the investigation to the ICC. Riyad Maliki urged prosecutors to bring to justice those responsible for Shireen's killing. Marwan Bashar is in Al Jazeera's senior political analyst. He joins us now from Skype from Paris. Marwan, of course, for those who are hoping for a fuller sense of what happened that fateful day, this will be a moment of frustration and disappointment.
Yes, absolutely. Although it was important that under pressure of American media and various international outfit that the Biden administration was forced at least to say that it is likely the killing of Shireen Abu Akleh took place from the Israeli military forces. In fact, they are assassination units that are usually sent to the places like Jenin. We know that there's a pattern of that sort of behavior on the part of the Israeli occupation, sending special forces, as they call them, or assassination units. And Shireen was killed by one of those. But I think from the very beginning, and I've said it countless times over the past few weeks, that the Israelis' intention was to get us lost in the details. As soon as the news came out, the tragic news of Shireen's killing, Israel suddenly began to muddy the water about that this could be Palestinian shooters and so on and so forth. But slowly but surely, the evidence was established that this must have come from the Israeli side, that the Israeli assassination units are always on standby to do such a thing. They have done countless such killings over the past few months and years. We also know that there's a pattern, Niamh, a pattern that started with the killing of Shireen, attacking her house that very afternoon, and then attacking her funeral the next day. So clearly Israel has been quite flagrant, if you will, in its behavior towards the journalist, towards Palestinian, towards a Palestinian-American, hoping that it will get away with it, and especially with the impunity provided by the United States.
What I find quite remarkable here is that we seem to have been marched all the way to the edge, and we are offered the possibility of joining the dots ourselves rather than US investigators doing that for us. Why do you feel at this particular moment in time the US are not prepared to go the extra mile?
Well, clearly, we are only, 10 days, 9 days before President Biden arrives in Israel and Palestine. And clearly, the U.S. administration would want to put this behind it without sounding too critical of either side, the Palestinian or the Israeli, or even though a crime was committed. I personally, as someone who has followed U.S.-Israel relations for a good number of years, I am bewildered by President Biden's behavior towards Israel. He's a bit of an enigma to me in the sense that Israel continuously humiliates him, and he continuously comes out with a smug, smiling, defending Israel as the man, the president who loves Israel, who's a Christian and yet a Zionist, who will always have Israel's back no matter what. So he, in fact, has been Israel's defense lawyer for as many years as we know, almost 40 years as senator, more years, 8 years of that as vice president, and now as president. There's something about Biden that he personally or politically continues to support Israel no matter how much Israel humiliates him. And we know from media reports, credible media reports, that the Biden administration asked Israel not to attack the funeral the day after the assassination of our colleague. And yet the Israelis did that deliberately. to tell Biden to butt out of its own what it calls business, which is the business of the occupation, the business of the humiliation of the Palestinians.
Marwan, of course, this...
Now, the Israelis, of course...
Marwan, what underpins all of this, of course, is that the shooting wouldn't have happened at all if there wasn't an occupation.
Absolutely, and not just any kind of occupation. It's an occupation that's been going on for over 50 years. But it's also an operation that took place against a refugee camp by the name of Jenin. And you mentioned that, Niamh, in the beginning of your report just now. But what do we mean by that? Because for our viewers around the world, it's really good to refresh the memories. This is not just a refugee camp. Because the defense minister of Israel just said that there are terrorists operating from civilian areas. What civilian areas? What terrorists? But this is a refugee camp that's almost 70 years old, since 1953. It's a 70-year-old camp. Half of its population are elderly or children. It's a concentration camp, over 1 square kilometer, where over 13,000 people live, and not only in a densely crammed circumstance, most of them hungry, most of them unemployed, but also next door or within the realm of a city of Jenin, that's half of its own population are refugees. And these are part of 58 other Palestinian refugee camps hosting some 1.3 million Palestinians for over 70 years. So you can imagine the frustration, the anger, the pent-up violence in those areas where Israel, the United States, even the Palestinian Authority, I must say, would not address their grievances. Calling them a terrorist, calling them civilian areas, calling them okay target for the Israeli occupation, that's just not just flagrant, not just unethical or immoral. It is criminal. And what our colleague Shireen Abu Akleh was doing that day, what she did for 20-plus years, was give voice to those voiceless Palestinians, whether it's against Israeli occupation or against their own authority. But these voiceless Palestinians did not have any voice, and international media outlets are not covering it. It is to the credit of Al Jazeera English that continues to transmit credible reports from the refugee camps, from the streets of the occupied West Bank, to the rest of the world. And it is thanks to Al Jazeera and its journalists, its credible journalists, its forum, that Israel and the United States were for the first time obliged, forced, pushed, nudged, and really pressured into looking into this question, because Israel kills Palestinian, innocent Palestinians all the time. But this time, thanks to Al Jazeera's forum, and because its microphone, I must be, you know, I must say that with pride, it is louder than the Israeli public relations spin that has tried to get away with this. But Al Jazeera journalists are not just any victims. In this case, it had to be an American Palestinian and a credible Palestinian journalist who were doing her job as she did it for over 20 years. They killed her, apparently in a targeted killing by an assassination unit, and yet Israel would muddy the water and the United States would help them doing that while it happened in a crime scene called a refugee camp under occupation.
Marwan Bishara, Al Jazeera's senior political analyst, thank you. OK, well, let's speak to Lina Abu Akleh now, a niece of Shireen Abu Akleh. She's joining me live from Geneva. Thank you so much for your time. Firstly, your response to these findings.
Thank you so much for having me. First and foremost, from day one, Israel has been trying to change the narrative, and using the bullet has been their one of their many narratives. But at the end of the day, this is not the end. The results that concluded that the bullet is cannot be determined if it was from the Israeli side, to us, that's just, it's the investigation, the entire investigation is disappointing, considering the fact that we are not aware of any of the process. We were not, there was no transparency. We were not given enough information regarding the investigation, and we had found out about it last minute. So to us, we still continue to call for a transparent and a just investigation. And we call on the UN, especially the ICC, to handle the case of Shireen with the same enthusiasm it has been showing to Ukraine, as rightfully so. So regarding the results, it is intentional. Yes, Shireen was killed intentionally, while the U.S. claimed that that the bullet was likely from Israeli soldiers does provide us with some kind of a cold comfort, but that's not enough. We still call for accountability. We still call for justice and for the U.S. to actually carry out an independent investigation free from any political pressure and to provide its citizen, Shireen Abu Akleh, the right investigation that she deserves as a citizen.
Now, of course, initially there were claims from the Israeli side that the bullets were fired by Palestinian gunmen, possibly. What this ballistics report does not say in any way that that was the case. Does that provide you any degree of comfort, any degree of hope that the focus can continue to be put on the IDF, who were there clearly in abundance in Jenin on that day?
Yes, of course. And as I mentioned earlier, this is some sort of a comfort, but it's not enough. However, all other previous reports have clearly indicated that it was the Israeli soldiers who shot and killed Shireen. So that to us is important, and we will continue to be seeking justice and using that as a sort as part of the evidence.
In terms of the reaction there amongst supporters of Shireen and members of the family as well, this must come as a moment of deep frustration as well. It does feel very much like an uphill struggle for you and the rest of the family.
Of course, it's very disappointing, but at the same time, it's not discouraging. We will continue to fight for justice. We will continue to fight for accountability and end to this impunity, because this result that we received today, it just adds on to the impunity that Israel enjoys. But we will not be discouraged, and we will continue on our path for justice and accountability.
And what are your thoughts on the international reaction as well? Do you think more can be done around the world to focus the pressure on Israel?
Of course, there's so much more that can be done from states, as they have their obligation. Third states have an obligation to protect human rights violations everywhere. And this is their obligation to talk about what happened to Shireen and to hold Israel accountable. And second, all journalists should also take up their platforms and to continue to advocate, because Shireen, at the end of the day, was a journalist and she was targeted. And she's not the first journalist and not the last to be killed by Israeli forces. Therefore, there needs to be an entire movement, not just by journalists, but also, as I mentioned, state, civil society, the UN and the ICC. We saw from the beginning of the occupation of Russia on Ukraine how the ICC was carrying out an investigation. The same should be done to Shireen's case and to Palestine. Shireen is not an exception. Palestine is not an exception. And we need to continue. States need to continue to call out for justice and accountability. We need to put an end to this double standards and the hypocrisy that's been seen in the international community.
Lina Abu Akleh, niece of our colleague Shireen Abu Akleh, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Now, let's bring in Sarsan Zaher, a human rights lawyer and a litigator for Palestinians at Israel's Supreme Court. She joins us from Haifa. Can I start by summarising what we know so far? We know that it looks like the Israeli army killed Shireen. It looks like, in their eyes, it was a mistake. But the results, say the team behind this investigation, are that the results are inconclusive because the bullet was badly damaged. From a legal perspective, what do these findings mean to you?
Good evening. First of all, we're talking about a political examination of the bullet, and hence as well the way that the conclusion of the examination was narrated. We are not talking about a criminal investigation. This is one thing. The second thing is that in order to do a criminal investigation and get out with the conclusions, which wasn't done by the Americans while examining the bullet, there was no word about the match with the weapons, knowing that every sniper unit at the Israeli military forces must have documentation not only of the bullets and not only of their activities, but also of their weapons. There was no word about examining what the witnesses said, any other evidences. There was nothing about contradiction of this conclusion with other investigations, including the UN Human Rights Commissioner, which was released only 10 days ago, which was an independent monitoring examination, not a criminal one, I must say, but still after examining all the evidence and witnesses, indicated and concluded that there was intention by the Israeli military forces, that Shireen was killed by them intentionally, after checking videos, witnesses, evidence, and so on. And having said all that, I must say that the only institution or body that is eligible to make such a conclusion is the ICC. And therefore, the Palestinian response to the fact that they must continue or that they want to continue before the ICC, the International Criminal Court, is the right move, because this is the only institution that really can provide the conclusions. Now, on the other hand, I also must say that I was not surprised by the conclusion. Everyone knows, including the Israelis, that Shireen was shot already from day one by an Israeli army, by a bullet from the Israeli army. Even the Americans knew that. The fact that there was all the time the contradictions in the American narrative or in the American story from day one. The fact that they never even denied it, the fact that they're trying to blame the Palestinians, even the UN Commissioner report and the CNN and the Washington Post and the AP, all of them said that there was no presence of any Palestinian civilians or resistance at the area. So this is not surprising, because the conclusion of the American examination of the bullet is basically political, because yes, Biden.
And if indeed this was a criminal investigation and not heavy politicized, as you say, what would be made of this ballistic evidence? Would it be challenged in a court of law?
First of all, there have been thousands of Palestinians that have been killed by Israeli snipers and Israeli soldiers. Take along the more than 60 or 62 Palestinians that were killed in the West Bank only from the beginning of 2022. Let us not forget all the ones in Gaza that were as well killed and assassinated. In neither of one of these cases did Israel say that they cannot conduct an investigation because they don't have the bullet. The bullet is a very important thing in criminal procedures, but it is only one evidence in all the criminal evidence that there are. And what Israel is trying to make is basically, as Lena said, is getting into the small details in order to mislead, in order to basically get out and give account or impunity to itself out of the greater picture. Gantz also, if we look at Gantz, the Israeli Minister of Defense, response on the fact that there were Palestinians in the area and that it is inconclusive, also says a lot, which basically is the political motive to provide impunity to any act of war crime conducted by the Israeli military, whether against Shireen Abu Akleh or against the thousands of Palestinians. And the U.S., which is also not surprising, the U.S. has been backing up the lack of accountability to the Israelis, not just from Trump era, but also from before. If I can remind you, since even Castled, the Goldstone report, the UN inquiries on the wars on Gaza in 2008, 2012, 2014, right, and even a public prosecutor's a decision to open investigation on Israeli war crime, USA never really supported that, and they all the time support providing Israel accountability, lack of accountability and full impunity for political reasons only.
Sosan Zaher, human rights lawyer and litigator for Palestinians at Israel's Supreme Court, thank you very much for that.
Thank you for having me.